Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
This is the real dud at the end of this series after the chaos of Monday. Honestly, a couple of tweets have mentioned this as well. Even Pat Murphy mentioned it too. It looked like a team just wanted to go home. End of a road trip, West Coast trip, all the wackiness of this week that was. Brewers fall and they lose the series to the A's. 4-3 the final today. Brandon Sproat gets overshadowed. The offense was meh the last 2 days. Chad Patrick has his first meltdown as a reliever. But I just want to start with overall thoughts, as tonight we have Jerry Augustine staying up late with us. And Augie, you know, when I look at, there's two lenses you can look at this, right? Hey, it's a 4-2 road trip and two extremely difficult places to play. I think everybody would have taken that assuming it's two series wins. But when you give the context of, well, it was a sweep and a series loss, you have a little bad taste in your mouth. And given the Brewers had the lead in both of the losses, that's what's most frustrating to me. I think the Brewers were certainly capable of winning both of these games if they played the standard of Brewers baseball, which they did not. At the same time, you're not going to win them all. That's why you play 162. I've said that over and over. But it's fair to feel like you just kind of have a blah, like just a very underwhelmed feeling coming back after the end of this series.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, anytime you go and you play at ballparks, you know, going into Colorado, you know that the game is never over. Runs can be scored at any time. You can score them in bunches. But then you go to this ballpark, and I think after that first night, I think we all knew that it was going to be a series that you're going to have to continue score in order to win. It wasn't something that you just get a lead and say, I can ride the lead for the rest of the game. It was just continuing scoring, and I think that's what happened with the Brewers. Half of the Brewers, they couldn't continue scoring, and I think you have to give a lot of credit to the A's bullpen when you look at what they did, putting up 8 1/3 of scoreless innings with no walks and 13 strikeouts. You look at different things that why the A's won that series. I think you have to go to the bullpen. Yes, they did hit a lot of home runs. They hit 15 home runs in a ballpark that the ball was just flying, but their bullpen stepped up also. And so it was a good combination for the A's, but the Brewers just couldn't get anything going today where they could add on to after first 3 innings scoring 3 runs.
Yeah, I mean, these two games, you just said it there, but to reiterate, the bullpen, these two games for the A's against the Brewers, 8 1/3 innings, just 6 hits, no runs, no walks, 13 strikeouts. And there's a mix of both there where it's like you want to tip your cap and say, hey, they pitched well. It's a bunch of rookies and second-year players or maybe nomads around the league that have found a home and a team that's desperate for pitching. And part of it is, hey, they just flat-out beat you. And that happens in Major League Baseball. Sometimes you get flat-out beat when we can make all this talk about the ballpark and about the scenario of playing there. You know, the team that wins is the one that's able to put that into a box and put it away for a couple of days. The Brewers weren't able to do that for reasons that we'll find out. But the way that I look at it, Augie, is you're right. I think that the way that the Brewers played these last two games offensively is the biggest thing that jumps out to me, is that they knew they could hit homers. Like, it felt like every time they were in the box, like, all right, well, I'm going to, you know, first one's for me. I'm going to try to hit a homer. And then it just wasn't the aggressive team that we saw in the game on Monday. And then in the end of today's game, you saw them flip that switch too hard in the other direction. Well, let me get it all back now. Anyone can tie the game because this ballpark's a bandbox and I can do anything I want. The Brewers did not play their style of baseball. And we talk about it all the time. I've mentioned it with Jeff Cirillo saying where it's, you know, there's 162 games. Just go ahead and throw 100 out. You know, those are going to be 50-50. The last 62 games, all right, are you going to be 20-20-20 of 20 games that you need to win, 20 games that you should have won and lost, and then the other 20, what are you going to do with? This is a game, in my opinion, Augie, the Brewers should have won given the great start from Sproat. We'll talk about him in the next segment, but they didn't. You shake it off, dust yourself off. You get 2 off days in the next 4 days. Try to get yourself ready for the Phils.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it's so interesting in this series and this road trip is it's not so much what you do early in the ball game; it's more what you do late in the ball game. And you know, look at what the Brewers did the first night in. They, late in the ball game, they came back. Yeah, the A's did come back, but they just Brewers continuously just applied pressure, and they won the ball game. It was the other way the last two ball games. The last two ball games, the A's were able to score some runs late, and their bullpen was able to hold it, and really the difference in the series. That you get those series, and you get in, when you go to places of play that are very different. And we actually were playing in two ballparks that where the ball flies and a run scored, and games are played in a funny way. But this is, you're right. These are two games that the Brewers could have and should have won, but it just didn't work out that well. And you give credit where credit is due, and the A's scored the runs that they needed to late in the ballgame, and their pitching held up, and that was the difference in the series.
Yep, so let's talk about the Brewers pitching. Let's take a breather, come back with more. 855-616-1620 is the phone number if you're staying up late. 855-616-1620 here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Do a little hot and cold. Get some texts as well. 855-616-1620. I'm Dominic Catronio with Terry Augustine here tonight. We gave you most of the West Coast off, and we make you come for a one-run loss, Augie. But at least you got to watch maybe the best start as a Brewer for Brandon Sproat. Six innings, four hits, one run it was earned, one walk, three strikeouts, just one solo homer by Alika Williams, 68 pitches, 44 strikes. I'll leave the floor to you first here. What impressed you most? What did you see? Did you learn anything about Brandon Sproat in today's start?
You know, the one thing I took away from today's start, Dom, is the last time he pitched, you and I had a great conversation about what he needed to do to get better, how he has to stay in the game, how can he be better and go deeper in the ball games. And it was about pitching efficiently, throwing strikes, pitching to contact, that style of pitching, rather than possibly trying to always pitch the strikes out, striking out. You look at what he did tonight, and you just said it, 68 pitches in six innings, 44 strikes, seven ground balls. That's excellent. And he pitched in the fifth inning. He threw, what did he do in the fourth inning? He threw five pitches in the fifth inning. Fifth inning, he put five pitches, and next inning, six pitches. That's efficiency, throwing all strikes, using all his pitches. Really, I commanded the strike zone with all his pitches. I thought by far this was his best outing that he had with the Brewers as far as being efficient, throwing strikes, and throwing ground balls, which he's got that good sinker, and he used it efficiently tonight.
Yeah, I've been watching Sproat closely of just how much is the repertoire changing. Now, granted, in the middle of tonight's game, StatCast went down, so we do have to go back to old school and just try to use the eye test a little bit here. But from what we do have until they update these numbers, I mean, the sinker was something that we all monitored and we all circled of saying, there's something there in spring training where he gets a massive amount of arm side movement. And we talk about the altitude, and this week he makes two starts at altitude. And quite frankly, I know people were complaining on Friday. Again, I will reiterate, 10 toes down. You go five innings and three runs in Colorado, you've done your job. Okay, that's a hard place to pitch. And then today, you go six innings, only one run in Vegas after what we've seen so far in this. You're seeing improvement because at elevation, sinkers play a little bit better because you're not relying on vert. You're letting the ball sink even more and that sort of thing. I don't want to bore people with the numbers, but he embraced it. He got some help from his defense for sure, but I think one thing that Sproat is still learning, and I think you can speak to this, Augie, is that not every single pitch he throws needs to be the nastiest pitch on the planet. He had some pitches down the middle today, but with just enough of a wrinkle that it becomes a ground ball, missing a barrel, getting guys off balance, where I don't need to make this nastiest sweeper going across his hip and to the outside corner. No, like sometimes I can get away with one that catches the outside corner but is meant to be put in play, or the sinkers that then pair off of that in on the hands that look like the four seamers. I mean, he barely threw four seamers tonight, and I think that was a very effective strategy to understand east-west creates ground balls for him, not north and south.
I totally agree with you. I think that, you know, there's a different style of pitching where you're just relaxed and you throw the ball and you let the ball's action take care of itself. And, you know, you get pitches out there sometimes, and I think that's some of the things you're thinking about with Sproat, is that when trying to be too emphatic with all his pitches, boy, you muscle up and you overthrow it, or you get into the wrong locations that you want to get, or you just miss the strike zone where you want it. And it seemed like he had that problem, like he's trying to do it a little bit too much. Tonight he looked a little bit more relaxed, a little bit slowing the game down, a little bit more relaxed, and being confident that, you know what, if I just make my pitch, I throw it to decent locations and let the ball do its job, and it's going to get people out. And I think he did it. I think he did a great job. You give up one inning, one run in six innings in this ballpark, and you get the seven ground balls that you get tonight, you've done a whale of a job. And I, like I said before, I thought tonight was probably his best outing in a tough ballpark in a tough situation. He really threw the ball well.
I think the other thing too that people are going to want to talk about and want to analyze about this game. Wait, 68 pitches, six innings. Why didn't he just go back out there? There are two things in my mind that go into this. Again, we've talked about everything being connected, right? The Brewers were only up 3-1 through six innings. They had plenty of opportunities, and we'll talk about the offense in the next segment. They had plenty of opportunities to add on. They did not do so. And on top of that, you're just kind of looking for something for Brandon to have some momentum moving forward with. End it on a good note. I know that sounds cliched, and it sounds like a participation trophy in a way to maybe some people who don't understand what that can do for the psyche of a developing pitcher to say, I did my job today. Yeah, it only took 68 pitches to do so, but sometimes you get your work done early and you get the clock out at 3 o'clock and go squeeze nine holes in at the end of the day, right? That's what Brandon Sproat did today. He did his job early. Sometimes teams swing aggressively against you. You take that advantage of that, and Sproat did it. I understand why Murph pulled him after six innings because you have an off day tomorrow. You had Uribe, McGill, Ashby, Patrick, all available. You thought you were going to be able to handle that. And Chad Patrick, unfortunately, was not able to handle that.
Yeah, and I also think you add to that, Dom. We have these slogans that we always use in baseball, and one of them is quality start. Like you said, getting him out of the game at that time with a quality start, everything's positive. The ground balls are positive. Pitch counts are positive late in the game. You look at what he did with the last two innings, five and six pitches, and really threw the ball very well. Getting the ground balls that he had to do. Getting that slogan of, hey, you know what? I just went out there. He just went out there, and he gave us a quality start with a rested bullpen. Exactly what the Brewers needed. I think that all plays in. I agree with you totally that when Murph looks at it, you try to do something that's positive, make something positive in a step to his next start. I thought taking him out of the ballgame at that time did exactly that.
And then when Chad Patrick came in for the seventh inning, yes, it's his third time in the last 4 days, but he's been the most effective pitcher in the Brewers bullpen the last 4 days. And you got to find out what you got with him, right? He can't just be lengthy outings from Chad Patrick every time that he's down for 3 days. You kind of have to find out, push that limit for a guy that's been a starter, now becoming a reliever, saying, all right, here's your first time where you may be pitching without your best stuff. And yeah, he missed three pitches over the middle that didn't come back. Homer, double homer. And that's the story of all she wrote. But at the same time, you could be frustrated for how he performed. Now, Cortez is a rookie. He's played well, but that was his first hit of the game. Geloff is known for striking out. He's been better lately. He's on a good hitting streak right now. That extended his hitting streak with the double. Lawrence Butler came in hitting like a buck 50 and gave up a fat cutter right down the middle, goes yard. You make mistakes against big leaguers, it does not matter what ballpark you're in. It's not coming back. Chad Patrick had his first meltdown. It's part of being a reliever. Shake it off and move on, young man.
Yeah, he sure is, and he's been such an important part. You know, every time you put Chad Patrick out there in the situation that he's where he was the other night, he came in and late in the ball game and finished the game off, and what he's been able to do, you're putting him in a situation that when you get into tough games or you go through a tough stretch, you have that another arm out there that you can really count on, and Chad Patrick has done that. Yeah, today he got some pitches over the plate and they were able to hit him. Those things do happen, but his performances out of that bullpen have been so needed by this Brewer ball club. That's getting that another guy that you can use in a tough situation at different times of the game to have him come in is so important. And he's proved that tonight just wasn't the night.
Yeah, it's all you can really say. He didn't do his job. He faced three batters. They all
That's
reached.
Right.
There's not much more to say other than that. Jeff from Elkhorn, tough loss tonight, but there is a lot to be positive about. Sproat had his best game. Hopefully he can build off that. Cheerio's playing great. Patrick has been great. Things happen. Best news of today, they don't have to play that joke of a ballpark anymore. I agree with that entirely. Let's talk about the offense. There were some good there, too, despite only scoring three runs, and there was plenty of bad. Jerry Augustine's with us. That was our hot and cold, though. The hot is certainly Brandon Sproat. The cold is obviously Chad Patrick in today's game. It's brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Wisconsin homeowners, are you thinking about a new cooling system? Sider makes it easy. Get a virtual quote in under 10 minutes right from home with short and long-term financing options. You can call or visit Sider.com today. That's Sider.com. Families helping families since 1912. Talk offense next on 620 WTMJ. Brewers fall 4-3. with Jerry Augustine. I'm Dom Catronio. Let's get this out of the way here too, Augie, because I want your take on this. The ballpark, the way it played. Playing in a AAA ballpark in regular season games in front of 8,500 people. I'm angry about it. It happens. I understand. I know the A's are moving to Vegas. That's not what I'm angry about. I'm angry that they're forcing two other teams to come to Las Vegas in a ballpark that is not meant to host Major League Baseball to then say, hey, these games count. And even though the A's just set a franchise record for the most homers they've hit in a three-game span, you know, a franchise that goes back to 1901, I think we shouldn't be playing games in this ballpark right now. I don't know about you.
I agree with you. It's a tough place to play. I mean, when you see the ball the way it was flying, from the first night on, it changes the game. But you know, in the situation that the A's are right now, where they're moving to Vegas, they play so many in Sacramento, they want to give the hometown fans in Vegas maybe something to see what this ball club is. This is a ball club that's trying to build itself. So I think what they're trying to do is just get games there. It's unfortunate that it had to be the Brewers that walked into that ballpark. But that's a tough place to play. And when you saw, anytime you see 22 home runs and 15 by one team, you know that the ballpark has a lot to do with it. And this is just one of those things. It's like playing every game at a Coors. You never know what's going to happen. But this is a tough play. Anytime you go down and play a major league team, plays in a minor league ballpark, those things are going to happen.
Yeah, I think the other thing to remind everybody, the new ballpark's going to be enclosed. They're going to have a roof, but I think it's going to be a lot like Arizona, where it's like closed majority of the time because of the heat in the desert. There is a humidor there in Vegas. It clearly needs to crank up the settings to keep the ballpark in the yard. Now, today's offense, again, a mixed bag. 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. They went to combine 3-for-18 with runners in scoring position these last 2 days. So that's one of the negatives. One of the positives, though, Jackson Churio, 2 more hits. He had a great road trip. Then you look at Vaughn, 2 more hits, including another walk there as well. Even Gary going yard, he's starting to find his swing. Sal getting a couple of hits is super important for him to stay in this lineup because there are whispers with the Luis Lara extension announced yesterday. Here's what I take away from this trip offensively, Augie, is the fact that Churio's a superstar. Yelich didn't do anything wrong. We'd like to see the power come back from him. Terang had hot and cold stretch. He's in another cold stretch right now, going 0-for-5. And if anybody deserves a little bit of grace, despite having a golden sombrero, it's Jake Bowers. You know, somebody else could have picked up Jake Bowers today. He went 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts. He's allowed to have a bad game. But overall, the Brewers are a team that relies on havoc, pressure, keeping things going, and they did not do so these last two games.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think when you look down the lineup, you look at, you know, Yelly did some good things in this series where it's a good run, the way he hustled on the bases. Churio was fantastic. Trank struggled a little bit. Vaughn's really swinging the bat good. I just got a biggest kick out when I saw Sanchez hit that home run. You can tell that when he came to the ballpark today, he looked at that lineup and he ran to the bat rack. He couldn't wait, and he sure went out and proved it today. Getting him swinging the bat, coming in that pinch hitter's role against lefties is something that the Brewers really need, and tonight he went out and performed that way. And you know, Sal looks like he's getting a little bit better, a little bit more patient at the plate, taking more pitches, trying to put the bat on the ball a little bit more. That was also good to see. So I agree with you exactly with this. Some good things happened. They didn't score enough runs. But, you know, this is one of these series that I think what we're all going to do is turn the page and let's move on to the next series.
Yeah, you know, I look at this lineup and I look at the big opportunities. I think there are two opportunities the Brewers messed up in this game. Number one, in the second inning, Yelly struck out with a man on third. Now, granted, Joey also grounded out, which moved him to third with two outs, and then Yelly struck out. That would have been nice to add on more to make it 3-0 at the time. Then the Brewers got a pair of walks in the third, and Frelick had a 10-pitch battle, but he ultimately popped out. And then I should say the third opportunity was the one that I think a lot of people are going to want to talk about, is in the eighth inning. Remember, William Contreras was not in the starting lineup today. And in the eighth inning with one out, Sal Frelick singles. Luis Renjifo comes off the bench, gets an infield single. Runners on first and second, one out. Lefty is on the mound. Joey Ortiz due up. They go to William Contreras here. Now, this is the move that I would have made 10 times out of 10. You're getting William against a lefty. This is the all-in move to try to take the lead because now your defense is going to be all wonky. and he grounds into a double play, right? I mean, that, of course, he didn't want to hit into a double play, right? I mean, what else do you want me to say?
Yeah.
But I think that when you look at that play, Augie, individually, people can say, oh, Murph made a mistake. The manager didn't make the mistake. Like, well, hey, he can't go up there and hit it for William and say, oh, William was trying to hit into a double play. Of course not. It's a matter of execution. Yeah. The Brewers didn't execute there in the eighth inning and numerous other times with runners in scoring position.
They sure, it just happens, and I think they really made some good. At times, they, you know, Contreras with the big home run he had the first night, and the way he's been swinging the bat, they made some really good pitches on him. They pitched him really tough. They knew that he was one of the guys in this lineup that you have to control if you want to beat the Brewers, and they really pitched him well. I thought they made some good pitches on him with that double play.
I think the way that the Brewers operate right now, and looking at this lineup, you know, Gary's not going to be an everyday starter, but I wonder, I'm just sitting here openly putting it, I'm going to ask Murph this over the weekend. Do we start to consider putting Christian Yelich in the outfield, which then creates a little bit more space for Vaughn to be in the lineup? Like, here's my idea. If you get Christian Yelich in left field, let's say, you put Yelly in left, you'll put Churio in right. You'll put Terang, Vaughn as the DH, Bowers at first, Mitchell in center. Then you figure out what you want on the left side of the infield. I wonder if we're ever going to see Yelly in the outfield, because that's one of the ways you can fit this puzzle piece. If you want to have both Bowers and Vaughn in the lineup, could you have a day where you put Yelly in left?
You know, that's a great observation. And we have seen Yelly out there a couple of times earlier in the season. I think that's something that you'll see Murph tinker with as we go along. You know, we're still in the first half of the season and trying to figure out some things that he wants to do. But I agree with you. I think putting Yelly in the outfield can technically are really inevitably make yourself an offensive better ball club and defensively stay as strong. So that's an interesting part, and I think that's something even Murphy will do from time to time. Put Yelly out there, and you get to make more versatility in the lineup. It's going to be interesting to watch, but I'm sure he's thought of that. I'm sure that probably as we go down the road towards this, as the season goes along, you probably will see it.
But then things get complicated, of course, whenever we talk about Luis Lara. Now, I'm going to spend more time tomorrow on Brewers Weekly talking about the Luis Lara extension, but I wanted to hear from you, Augie, because now the Brewers have done it again. They did it with Churio a couple of years ago. That's really paying off. Waiting on Cooper Pratt's debut still, but he's starting to tear it up. He's got a 900 OPS over his last 25 games or so in AAA. And now they're doing it with Luis Lara again, the extension before their big league debut. If the track record tells us anything, the Brewers should have found another one here, and maybe we see Lara by the end of the season.
You know, I think they have a special way of going about things, and they do it things when you see them and do it, Pratt and, you know, Churio and now with Lara. You've got to be a special player, and you see what he's been able to do and the way he's been swinging the bat and the way he's been performing. I think they're saying that, you know, here's a kid that can really come on and be a big part of our ball club and our organization, and that's the way you fuel your club to be good for a longer period of time. I think it shows respect to the player. It shows respect to how they want to work their organization. I think it's a great move. I think when you have a good player that has those abilities and you say, hey, you know what, you belong, they feel like they belong. And we saw it all the way back with Freddie Peralta when they extended him to a long contract. It really paid off. I think that's something the Brewers have done. It's been successful. And I think they're going to keep on doing it when they feel that they got a player that's as special as Larry is.
Yeah, even Aaron Ashby, he signed an early extension as well. And
that's right.
Maybe they saw him more as a starter, but now he's been very useful as a unique reliever for the Brewers right now. Well, Augie, appreciate you staying up late with us, and I know we'll talk to you soon on this homestand as the Brewers still come back with a winning road trip going 4-2. Plenty of reasons to have a happy flight.
Yeah, just a real different type of series. You gotta say, hey, what an experience, and that's what it was for this ball club. They didn't win the series, but you know what? You turn the page, you move on to the next one. They'll be back on Friday, and it's the Miz Day on Friday.
Yeah, fire me up for that. Jacob Mizorowski against that Phillies lineup, and yeah, we can talk about that once the Phillies get here. But appreciate you, Augie. Take care, bud.
All right, great being with you.
All right, Jerry Augustine joining us on 620 WTMJ. A couple last-second texts. I want to get my last bit of Las Vegas out of me. Then we can all move on and get ready for the Phils. We'll hear from Murph, play a couple highlights, and say goodnight in a little bit. Here on Home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Buy or sell. Brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf and Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.kw.com. A couple of texts that have come in here as well. This one made me chuckle from Dennis. I was half expecting to hear the crack of an aluminum bat any minute during these games. Yeah, he had like the aluminum power bat from backyard baseball. That made me chuckle. Alex from Oshkosh. Brewers get two homers, but not enough. Both solo. Darn those Athletics, man. Hey, it's only the second series loss of the last month and a half. Yep, you're right. Phillies up next. This one, the approach at the plate tonight was very lackluster. Kind of lazy, soft rollover grounders and reach four, plus one. Murph overmanaged, and I disagree with that. Why is it that when a player has a great game the previous day, they get benched the next day? Mitchell, and the Brewers went just 1-for-10 with runners scoring position. On the Mitchell front, it seems there's always something afoot, as in I always kind of, in regards to Mitchell and a handful of other guys too, but especially for Mitchell, there's always a reason, and even me, there are always things that you and I don't know, including me. There are always things that the Brewers keep to the vest. Like, think about Monday. When Trevor Megill didn't come into that game Monday, myself and some of the other media people were kind of looking around like, why didn't Trevor Megill get into this game? He was dealing with an oblique. Right? So there's always reasons that you may or may not know about. We've talked about Garrett Mitchell's back before this year. We've talked about him having illness at times. There's always reasons that you and I don't know about. So I always try to hold that within. He forced Andrew Vaughn in the lineup today, and that worked out for him as well. But the thing that I just want to buy and sell about Las Vegas, and I just want to get this take out into the world. You know me, if you've been listening for a while, look, this is my fifth season in this role. I've done a game at the Coliseum. It's not a secret. My dad worked for the A's for 19 years. Okay. We're not hiding that anymore, but he doesn't work for them anymore. And for reasons that, hey, the A's felt like they wanted to go in a different direction. That's fine. I do not care for them whatsoever. The point being that I want to make here about Las Vegas, I'm fine that the A's are going to Vegas. They've been flirting this for 30 years. It feels like my entire life they've been threatening and threatening and threatening ever since the Haas family sold and everything changed. But the point being, I don't mind you going to Vegas and you're building the ballpark, which is great and all. But I just want to remind folks, the reason they're playing in Sacramento right now and not Vegas is this ballpark, partially. They don't have anything ready to go. They didn't have an exit strategy for the city of Oakland. You know, they woke up at 7 in the morning, called the mayor and said, hey, we're leaving. Take it or leave it. See you later. The city of Sacramento and their owner of the Kings, Vivek, said, hey, well, you can come play at Sutter Health Ballpark, which is the Giants affiliate, not the A's affiliate, which is ironic because it was the Giants who blocked the A's from trying to move to San Jose back in the early 2000s. It's funny how things come full circle. But the point that I want to make about Las Vegas, I don't know how it's going to work. There were a lot of Brewers fans there tonight. 33,000 seats in that stadium. We talk about economy. We talk about airplane travel. We talk about gas prices. We talk about the tourism economy in Las Vegas cratering right now. And overnight, seemingly, within 10 years, you're going to go from one professional sports team, the Vegas Golden Knights, who are, by the way, in the Stanley Cup final, to all four in a 12-year period, right? When the A's open in 2028, the NBA is coming in the next couple of years. They just got the Raiders a couple of years ago. They've had the Golden Knights. And they have a WNBA team, mind you. I'm worried about it. It's another technically small market team. And if we want to talk about the Brewers being at a disadvantage and all this stuff, Vegas will be at a disadvantage too. So I'm just not buying stock in it, man. I'm a little worried about it. I don't know if this is the right move. I would have loved to see another team in the Bay Area. Maybe there is another day, but it's above my pay grade. But still have great uniforms and a great mascot. Stomper is very underrated. I really like Stomper a lot. I'm selling it, selling everything about Vegas, but you know, smile and let people enjoy things. If you like Vegas, more power to you. Not my kind of city. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up next as the Brewers fall 4-3 here on 620 WTMJ. Got to hand out a player of the game. I mean, from the Brewers' perspective, that's pretty easy. Brandon Spurrow, quality start in Vegas. In that environment, very impressive. Unfortunately, he gets a no decision. For the A side, it's their bullpen. I mean, the bullpen out of nowhere. It was very much the Shaq meme. I was not familiar with your game. And they dominated the Brewers these last 2 days. So you tip your cap. They did their job and handled things the way that they were supposed to. The Brewers fall in this one by a final of 4-3, but our player of the game is brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive in the summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. You can visit now, iamilwaukee.com. International Autos Group, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. So again, the fact that the Brewers went, you know, 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position, the fact that they hit two solo homers, failed to, you know, hit the ball over the fence when they needed to, it's just a recipe for disaster on that one. Having a quick moment with the technical difficulties on Murph. We'll get to him on the other side of the break, and then we'll also play some highlights for you. So got to burn a quick break here and get right back to it. We'll get to Murph on the other side of this on 620 WTMJ. All right, now we're ready to hear from Pat Murphy. It's a short one, but some good thoughts on Brandon Sproul after today's 4-3 loss to the A's.
The fact that, you know, he attacked, he was all over the zone pretty much. I don't, did he walk one, maybe?
One.
And he was ahead in the count most of the time. And, yeah, I'm very pleased with him. And, to go as long as he did, that's pretty good. Good start, quality start. Deserved to win.
With a fully rested pen and a close game in this park, was that an easy call at that point in the seventh at 68?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think everybody knows that we looked to get him out of there on a good note and not and the way Chad Patrick's thrown the ball and the way he matched up with those guys was pretty easy. And McGill threw the ball good, so Ashby came in, was a little bit, a few hiccups, but he was good enough to get him out, and yeah.
You hit those two homers early, and then there wasn't a lot after that. Did you feel like you left some opportunities out
there? No, I mean, I think we didn't have the intensity offensively that we needed to have. Not that guys aren't trying, don't get me wrong. I just, you got to have more intensity than that. It's been a long road trip, the altitude, the adversity of playing at a park that's different than what you're used to. The lighting's different. Everything's different. So, but, you know, we did a lot of good things. But, I mean, we didn't have the right, we left the zone, a bunch down. The ball does move a little differently here, so it's hard to predict. A lot of sliders back up, a lot of other balls move differently than they normally would, but no excuse. The other team had it, and they did more than we did. I think they got a nice team over there, and I think their bullpen is better than people think, and I think they're they get some guys healthy. They got a nice club. We didn't do enough. We didn't keep it on them. We're ahead 3-0, and I think Sproke gave us a chance, and we had one reliever not do the job.
And that's how she goes. That one reliever was Chad Patrick. Well, how did the Brewers build a 3-0 lead, you ask? Well, it started with the home run ball, as the Brewers actually scored in the first inning on an Andrew Vaughn RBI single. And then the ball started to fly as the sun went down in Las Vegas.
Perkins 2-2 pitch. And a fly ball to the left and deep. It is way back, and it is way gone. Gary Sanchez with one of the longest home runs of the year for any of the Brewers. And it is 2-0 Milwaukee. 466 feet off the bat of Gary Sanchez. That is the longest of the year for the Crew.
466, yep, longest for the Crew. And one foot shy of the longest of the year in Major League Baseball. They weren't done with hitting homers. How about Action Jackson?
And here's Jackson Churia to lead off against Jack Perkins. Swing and a drive deep up into the sky in left center field. Watch this baby, way out. Almost hit the center field camera above the batter's eye. And the Brewers playing home run derby against Jack Perkins tonight. They lead it 3-0 in the third.
Well, the home run derby, unfortunately, would end there for the Crew because that's the end of their offense. Again, 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. But the defensive highlight of the night, helping Brandon Sproke go 6 innings. He got 2 double plays turned. But this one from Joey Ortiz makes you go, whoa.
2-0 the count. Sproke kicks and deals. Swinging a ground ball towards short. Played on the backhand by Ortiz to second one. Relay to first for 2. What a double play started up by Joey O. Oh, my word. Not only did he take away a base hit, he started a twin killing in shallow left field with a backhand.
It was brilliant. Quick slide, pop, go, throw, and, you know, it's kept this game 3-0. You're feeling good about Spro for him to get through six. You're supposed to win those games, and unfortunately, the Brewers did not. 4 runs on 9 hits for the A's after they had the big seventh inning. Homers from Alika Williams in the sixth, his first big league homer, go Devils. Then a homer for Carlos Cortez and a 2-run homer from Lawrence Butler, and that is all she wrote. And again, back-to-back games for the A's, 100% of their runs scored via home run. The Brewers had 3 runs on 11 hits, no errors. Again, left 9, 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. 102 degrees at first pitch, but they're coming right back home for a beautiful weekend at American Family Field. We'll preview the Phillies coming up next on 620 WTMJ. Last few minutes of the show. Late nights, and we're through them all. Appreciate everybody stayed up late. If they wanted to listen live, if you listen on the podcast, thank you, thank you, thank you. Tell your friends, Brewers All Access, we're here. Ratings are really good, so I appreciate everybody who's dropped a 5-star review, dropped a rating, or I should say a review, written a review, and dropped a 5-star rating, because that actually helps the podcast more than you realize. Brewers All Access, wherever you get your pods. This week, off day tomorrow, but we will have a Brewers Weekly tomorrow night on WTMJ, taped edition as usual, for the folks listening to it live at 8 o'clock. We're going to talk a lot about Luis Lara. We're going to hear from Luis Lara. We are also going to break down what is the outfield picture and the future. What is the way too early look at the 2027 starting lineup for the Brewers? What are the things that you need to make sure you appreciate for the rest of this season? And we're going to talk a little bit about the pitching, because there are some opportunities here coming up for the Brewers to keep things in check. And Miz goes on Friday against these Phillies. So 6:40 on Friday, we're on the air at 6:05, of course, with the On Deck Show, Built by Menards. Saturday is a 6:10 first pitch. We're on the air at 5, yours truly, with Brewers warm-up. Sunday, 1:10, we're on the air at noon, once again, with warm-up, and another off day on Monday. How about that? So enjoy the double off day homestand. Then the Cleveland Guardians come to town, and Wisconsin's proudest son from Waterloo, Tom Hamilton, the Hall of Famer, on the call with the Guardians coming to town coming up next week. And then the Brewers go right back on the road after the quick homestand. They will go to Atlanta for Father's Day weekend, and then they will go to Cincinnati for the first time this year for a midweek set there. And then they come home for the Cubs, back-to-back fun weekends, where this weekend against the Phils, then in 2 weekends, or back-to-back weekends against important teams with the Braves next weekend and then the Cubs after that. So they're in a really important stretch of their season right now. Pitching matchups, da-da-da-da-da-da. We got the lines coming up for both teams. Jacob Mizorowski goes on Friday, gets an extra day of rest with the off day. Saturday, it'll be Shane Drouin. He pitched very well on Sunday in Colorado. Then Sunday, Kyle Harrison trying to rebound after coming back from elevation. Harrison gets the ball Sunday. As for the Phils, it'll be their rookie Matthew Painter on Friday. Then it'll be Aaron Nola on Saturday. And they round things out with Christopher Sanchez on Sunday. So we just missed that pitcher of the month duel that we all wanted by 2 days. But it'll be a battle of the Southpaws on Sunday. Miz goes Friday, and Shane Drouin goes on Saturday, Harry on Sunday. Then the Brewers, like we said, have another off day. And I just want to, I'll point this out now, and we'll talk about it a little bit tomorrow, a little bit more detail. I'm really excited for the discourse around the Phillies. And I want to try to talk to a few of the guys over there, especially after Miz starts. Because you remember last year, Christopher Sanchez, by the way, was unanimous runner-up in Cy Young and was not on the initial list of all-star game pitchers for the National League. And then he, after guys were pulling out left and right, pitching side that is, Christopher Sanchez was offered a spot in the all-star game last year. He turned it down, and then they turned to Jacob Mizorowski, which led to Bryson Stott and Bryce Harper making comments that we'll talk about in Brewers Weekly tomorrow to say, hey, man, why is this kid getting it? Well, they obviously hadn't seen him, not until Labor Day when the Brewers faced the Phillies later in the year. But the thing about Miz is he's a quick to forget. I don't think he's going to hold any grudges, but we can. We can remember that stuff. So we'll talk about that in Brewers Weekly. Again, that'll be at 8 o'clock tomorrow. It'll be on YouTube first thing in the morning on Friday on ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube page. And I think that's going to just about do it for a West Coast road trip. I am looking forward to an off day after all of these late nights in my home studio. Big thank you to Jerry Augustine for staying up late with us for tonight's finale of the road trip. Also, a thank you to our producer, Matt Yazel, for staying up late. He didn't bring any wins in the studio. He did bring wins with him when he was in Denver watching the Miz shove against the Rockies. That will do it for us here tonight. Thank you. Thank you for listening all the way to the end. My name's Dominic Catronio. Talk to you tomorrow. Until then, keep on swinging.